Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
When I shook Mario Cristobal's hand for the first time. Oregon had just played a home football game. They had won the game, were walking up the tunnel after the game, had been down on the field for the last 5 minutes. I'm coming up the tunnel. The players are kind of going by me. And I look over, and there's Mario Cristobal. And I reached over, and I shook his hand, and I immediately judged him on that handshake. He's got the handshake of a grizzly bear. And he joins me now. How are you?
Doing well, brother. How are you?
Doing well. Do you judge kids on their handshakes? Can you learn something about a recruit when you shake his hand?
I judge radio shows by the intro music, and I just heard Guns N' Roses in the background. So, super high marks.
We're on fire here.
Handshakes are important. Very important, John. Very important. And you could fix it. It's not right the first time. Maybe a guy doesn't have the awareness. But just, again, demeanor, body language, always going to be something you definitely want to observe closely.
I've taken interns that have bad handshakes. I pulled them aside and I said, look, you're going to be judged on this. You look them in the eye, have a firm handshake. You don't have to break their arm, but you don't have that weak handshake. Do you do that with kids?
We observe everything. And when I say everything, literally, like every move they make, you know, when they're on our campus, we're assessing them as they assess us. But I mean, how important is it, for example, when, you know, mom's going to walk in, he's with mom, is he going to open the door for her, or is he going to just kind of go in and swing it open and enter and not look back? I mean, all those little things, there's a lot to it. I think there's a DNA thing you always look for, and you want to make sure you're getting guys that are made of the right stuff.
Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach, is our guest. The recruiting class that you're putting together is unprecedented. How do you celebrate when you get a big commitment? Is there a celebration dance? Is there a nod of approval? Do you high five with a coach who's been important on that? Or how do you celebrate when you get a commitment?
You really don't. You're excited because I think it's affirmation that you're in the lead for a particular prospect. But certainly, as you know, as crazy and as wild as recruiting is, now the turns it takes and until that fax does come in, or nowadays, of course, that photo on the cell phone, however you want to send in your letter of intent signature, nothing really is worth celebrating.
That fax comes in, is there a celebration at that point? Because I got to think, like, at some point, you got to smile, right?
There's a relief. and then as it comes in, you know, you're getting your phone blown up saying, hey, the 2021 you really liked, you know, you're thinking about going somewhere else, clicking on him. So it never ends. I mean, light your hair on fire and just put it out when you're going to go to sleep. And in the meantime, just make sure you're on and stay on, because all it takes is one class with several holes to really put a dent in the track of your program, you know, in the way that you want to trend. So can't afford a single one to go downhill.
I want to talk football. I want to talk all about, you know, the non-conference schedule and your, you know, what you're thinking about with football. But on media day, the conversation at lunch turned into you talking about mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu, things that you have trained in and stayed in shape in, and have you competed ever as a fighter, or is that just a training, stay in shape thing?
You know, none of ours were professional bouts. I just think, as you know, the program that we were in, you traveled throughout the state of Florida and had your competitions mostly in South Florida. But in terms of actual, you know, on the stage, UFC and all that stuff, never got to that point.
Is that a good discipline to keep someone in shape? I mean, I know that, like, people who are former wrestlers swear by it. They say it creates great habits and great self-discipline, and it's great to learn those things and self-defense, and it will keep you in shape. But is there a technique in that you can learn as a football player that helps you with your hands or your feet?
Without a doubt. I think it's critical that every, you know, especially linemen, guys up front, you know, that do so much hand fighting in the trenches, that that they learn a lot of the principles, you know, of Muay Thai, you know, being able to strike, discipline, and also, you know, develop the muster, the courage to be able to be in whether it be a, you know, a ring or whether it be an octagon, and be able to battle one-on-one. And, you know, really test yourself and find out more about yourself. And I think the type of conditioning that comes with this type of training can do nothing but your team can do nothing but benefit from it. So, and it's probably useful, right, in a big pileup when you're trying to get a ball, a loose ball, right, a fumble.
Yeah. Like that.
You know, you don't want to slap on any Jack and Jerry Briscoe figure four or anything like that. But you want to make sure you want to get in there and dig that ball out however you can.
Mario Cristobal with us, Ducks football coach. You know, the adrenaline rush that those guys must have, because I've covered those UFC events, and I have to think when they come into the octagon that it's an incredible adrenaline rush. Is that, how do you feel on a football field when you're coming into a packed stadium at Miami or Autzen Stadium, walking out through the tunnel?
It's life, man. No, it's it's everything, brother. It's I mean, you really can't put it in words. It's the ultimate rush. It's the biggest stage, right? Your chance to compete, you know, in the spotlight, on the big stage, and then put all your preparation to use. But, you know, when you walk in, honestly, it's especially on the road, you know, I think those are, for whatever reason, those kind of tend to poke you a little bit more, knowing that you have an opportunity to go into an opponent's stadium, and everybody wants, you know, they're out for blood and whatnot, and you've got a chance for your preparation and hard work to go change the way that people think. You know, I think that's the ultimate test, and I think it's the ultimate challenge and honor to have those opportunities.
Yesterday we had a writer on the show who's got a vote in the AP poll. He placed you guys ninth in the preseason AP poll. You like hearing that, or do you not want to hear that stuff?
I'm probably, in terms of stuff like that, in terms of stuff involving predictions, I'll probably be the least color commentated guy of all time. that stuff to me is, it just has no bearing. It can't be. You know, we never go too much on the side of praise and acknowledgement, or too much on the other side, you know, which criticism. We try to stay level-headed and try to make sure that, man, we're all about this fight, human nature, and keeping ourselves on the grind. We really are, John. It's just that we stay process-oriented because we just feel it works. We feel it keeps us on task, and we feel it keeps us from being distracted.
I'm looking at your recruiting classes and sort of the direction the offensive and defensive line are going size-wise. We're in new territory here. You're getting some big dudes.
Well, I had a really good mentor that last place I was at before coming over. And he always used to tell me, you know why they have weight divisions in boxing? And I said, why? He said, so the big guy doesn't completely annihilate the little guy. So bring me big guys. Okay, so because of that philosophy, I think it's something that, you know, it's trending. And again, we take players all shapes and sizes. You know, they have to be good. But, you know, length and size and mass, as long as it's combined with power, twitch, and athleticism, I mean, it's a trend of the way the game is going, and certainly we want to increase all those, you know, aspects of our team physically and, of course, you know, in all positions as well. I'm not just only, you know, the offensive line and defensive line. We're trying to get, you know, longer and ranger everywhere we're at.
This fall camp, as you go into it, you know, the message that came out of you talking yesterday or this morning was, hey, we need more depth. What do you really like, besides Justin Herbert, what do you really like that you see out there right now?
Well, I think the offensive line, obviously, we have a really veteran group, or a team that's played, or a group that's played a lot of football together. And they're being pushed by some guys that have been here a little bit, and it seems like it's their turn to step up, as well as some young guys that are really talented. So I like the way they're gelling, really like the way the tight ends have developed and increased their physicality during camp. I think those guys are going to be provide a tremendous, I would say, diversity and versatility with us offensively. Because now, you know, our misplaced personnel packages and putting those guys on different spots of the field without having to change personnel groups makes things really good for us. And the outside linebacker position as well as the inside linebacker position, those guys are humming, man. Those guys are getting the field. They're being disruptive. They're making tackles. They're playing with a lot of energy. You know, Alana is a full speed again. I mean, he's got so much juice. He brings so much juice to the table. And know, him and Troy, Justin Hollins. Lamar Winston's a guy that has really popped the last couple of days coming off the edge and doing some things. So just overall, just pleased with the direction, the physicality. We are nowhere near ready to be the team that we want to be, but we have made up a lot of ground. We've closed the gap. We just got to keep grinding.
The I look at Tony Brooks James and I look last year at Royce Freeman. Do you ideally want a bell cow running back who's going to carry the bulk of the load? Do you want to do it by committee? What as a head coach, what do you prefer?
Pound it however you can and remain 50-50, run pass. Make sure that our tempo is high. Make sure we stay explosive. So those guys have to be versatile. They're different, and that's the part that's obvious. And all five of these backs are different. I do think we could get the same type of production or more so and using all five of them maybe in different ways. But in my opinion and what we want, we always want a guy that can get downhill in a hurry, okay? But he's also he must have the ability to get the ball outside as well in the perimeter and not just, you know, on sweeps and, you know, on pitch plays and stuff like that. But when you run true press and when you're in your outside zone stuff too and away from the tight end, now that requires a guy that has some patience, has some power, but also could put a foot in the ground and either hit a vertical seam or put a foot in the ground and pop that thing outside. And then I really believe these guys all can do it. They've done it in camp so far. They've been exciting to watch. Technically, we've got to get better. We've got to continue shoring up protections and whatnot. But they're advancing pretty quickly, so we're pretty pleased with them.
All right. It's football all the time. It's recruiting all the time. But what do you do outside of football, like family? What's a date night like with Jessica? Were you going to a movie? You going to dinner? When you get away, what are you doing?
Man, I'm a boring dude. You know, we don't get to do much. A date night would always involve eating. We eat a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably why we both really liked each other early on. Like, we went to sushi night in Miami and went like 6-7 rolls apiece, some of that crazy seaweed salad, you know, some Connie Sue. Do all that stuff on there. And then the second date was, you know, hey, let's get an entree and split another entree. So got to be food involved. And, you know, we have kids, so we, you know, when we're out to dinner and we have our date now, we end up looking at pictures of our kids, so we end up going home pretty early. So we keep it very low key.
Yeah, it's, you know, and by the way, the restaurant scene in Miami, how does that compare to, like, when you were at Alabama and maybe now in Eugene? And Portland's got some good restaurants. You got to get up here and try some of this.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I have been up there a few times. Love the restaurant scene here. I mean, we certainly we have a wide variety. And, you know, living in Miami, obviously there's a bunch of stuff going on down there. Tuscaloosa was growing. You know, it was growing, and some things were popping here and there. But, I mean, I'm not real complicated, man. You know, as long as it's cooked, right, for the most part, if it's meat, if it's sushi, we'll take it raw. But, hey, chicken, steak, fish, I'm good with either one of those. Throw some brown rice in there or a potato, and let's roll.
All right. Mario Cristobal, thank you for making time for us. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
There he is, Ducks football coach. He's also judging you when he shakes his hand. When he shakes your hand. He has a good handshake. Not a kill you handshake, but the guy could have been a Secret Service agent. And I can feel him holding back on the mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu talk because he didn't want you to judge him. He was much more animated on Media Day when he was talking about, gosh, I wish that I, you know, had stayed with that. Or he even went as far as to say that's a discipline that he'd be okay with his kids getting into. If it was the proper, we're talking about proper training mixed martial arts. People who are really into it know what I'm talking about. Not the blood and the gore that you see in a mismatch fight with not skilled fighters. They're, you know, when you're talking about good fighters. And here's the other thing. I physically saw him at Media Day when he got word that he got a commitment. That's why I asked him that question. Because you know what he did? He looked at his phone and he went, boom! And I said, what? And he said, nothing. And like 5 minutes later, I saw on Twitter that he got a commitment from a defensive back that had flipped from another school. And I went, oh. There was a, don't let him fool you. Like, I think he wants to say, hey, until they're on campus, nothing is certain. But I also think there's part of Mario Cristobal that is a very relatable, very normal, guy. And I think for at Oregon State, you got the same thing. I think for the first time, I had this conversation with one of the firefighters last night. I said, you know what? I actually think the two head coaches that you have at Oregon State and Oregon now, Jonathan Smith at Oregon State, Mario Cristobal at Oregon, I think we've come almost full circle, and we're almost back to Mike Riley, Mike Bellotti in personality, in a way. Because Jonathan Smith is very Chris Peterson, Mike Riley-like. You know, Riley's much more open, but still same personality. And Cristobal, he's very CEO-like, you know? He was a guy who made his living in the trenches, but he's CEO-like. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Our big splash next. Washington State coach Mike Leach coming up top of the hour. This show is jam-packed. And we'll go to the college football matrix, Dave Bartu, in the 2 o'clock hour. You'll want to be here for that. What do you want me to ask Mike Leach? Tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. I wonder if Leach judges a guy on his handshake. I wonder if he just eyeballs him. Well, here's the thing. I always look at their shoes to see what kind of shoes they're wearing. They're wearing a particular kind of shoe. I always think to myself, wouldn't it be easier if we all wore Velcro? What? Like, that's going to be Leach coming up top of the hour. Who knows where it goes? Mark's in Beaverton. Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, John, continuing the conversation on handshakes.
Yes.
And I can relate to just like what a couple of callers said is my dad, like, I don't remember sitting down with him and saying, like, this is how you do a handshake. But I was the youngest of four in my clan. And you know, I just watched my dad, and my dad was the quintessential patriarch. But, you know, I've turning to you, I've talked with you enough over the years as your kids have grown up, and especially your teenage daughter.
Yeah.
And you've had some topics, you know, talking about you and your kids, and I've shared them with you over the years. But I think that as we get older, and almost 60, and I have three girls that are in their 20s, I just feel like that, and I work with a bunch of kids that are millennials. I mean, they all could be my kids. I just feel this sense of I need to share what wisdom I've had. And I think that kind of goes along with the handshake of whether you're teaching them how to do a handshake or you're just teaching them, excuse me, you know, your interns and, you know, the people that you deal with, you know, on a daily basis, you know, I think we owe it to them.
Yeah. Somebody did it for me, you know, I want to do it for somebody else. It's true. 15-year-old yesterday, I picked her up. She had volleyball practice in high school. I picked her up right after this radio show. And she got in the car. We started to talk. And I said to her, you know, first of all, I pulled up at her school. And I kind of thought she saw me. But she was standing at maybe 25, 50 feet away in a group of kids. And they were talking. And she kind of looked but didn't look. And I thought, I think she saw me. So I tried to text her. She didn't respond. I called her phone. She didn't respond. I pulled up a little closer so she could see me better. Nothing. And then ultimately, I started to get kind of annoyed because I was like, she knows I'm here. And I got out of my car. And as I got out of my car, she went back into the school, into the gym. And one of the kids that was in her group passed me. And she said, she saw you. She went back inside to get her bag. And I thought, okay, she's getting her bag. And I thought to myself, what do I need to do to get her to get in the car? Like, do I have to take my shirt off and embarrass her? Like, walk into the school like, hey, where are you? Like, you know, that be that dad. And I was like, you know, come on and get in the car. And she said, gosh, Dad, you know, I saw you. I was just getting my stuff. And I said to her, like, you know, hey, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your dad. And I said, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to be your dad. And then she said, huh? Because she was texting. And I said, put your phone down. You are going to put your phone down for 5 minutes and we were going to have a conversation. She did. And I said, now you can pick your phone back up. But those kids are just so distracted. Yeah, I need to have a conversation with her about her handshake, perhaps. Also about, hey, when dad's here to pick you up, get your ass in the car. You know? It's true. This isn't the TriMet. I'm going to sit on the corner and wait for you. Hey, ma'am, are you getting on the bus here?
Parenting has had to evolve, though. It's had to evolve because of technology.
Yeah. It has. It's trickier, I think. Much trickier. Mike Leach, Washington State football coach, is coming up. Big splash of the day, of course. We don't need to play the benchmark, but I'll tell you what it was. Oakland drew 17,419 announced fans Tuesday night. Huge, dramatic increase, a 70% increase over their Monday night crowd. Well, they had to give away free parking to do it. People in Oakland showed up to see the A's. 17,000 still below their season average. Mike Leach, Washington State coach.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.